going on here?
The Weeknd.
The Weeknd.
Friday.
For most people, Friday is just a day before the weekend.
I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat.
It is Friday, right?
Better mouth for dinner on a Friday night.
I'm hosting a party on Friday.
Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday.
What about Friday?
Oh, party hardy, Friday.
What's today?
Friday.
We got engaged on a Friday night.
Friday, 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 Friday.
Now, from the Bob and Sherry Studios on this Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Woo! Happy Friday. It's my favorite day of the week because, of course, we have the People's Movie Critic. And this week, he's reviewing a Nicolas Cage movie. And as Nick Cage fans know, even a bad Nicolas Cage movie is better than almost anything else you could watch.
Yes.
So, Arcadian in 1 hour right here. And speaking of watching, I'm a nightmare and a monster and just everything awful that you could imagine. But I am a good wife slash girlfriend because I will cook you the foods you like and I will watch the crap you want to watch, even though in my heart of hearts, I'm scanning looking for some sort of like South Korean UFO documentary that's subtitled. And I know that you don't want to watch that. So I'm going to like go through the universe of a gazillion choices and try to find something that we can both endure together. Have any of you watched Manhunt on Apple TV by any chance?
No, I have not.
Manhunt is the search for John Wilkes Booth. The show begins the day that President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated at the Ford Theater. That's how the show begins. And then it's only like 7 episodes in the whole series. And the rest of the show is about how they were trying to hold the fragile Union together in the wake of the assassination, and hunt down John Wilkes Booth. And it's really, really well done, and it's super well cast. I don't know who the actor that plays John Wilkes Booth is, but he's really good. Tobias Menzies, who was in Outlander as Claire's husband, Frank, and as Captain Jack, the dual part, he plays the Secretary of War. And one of the things they do in the show, they show you like how, first of all, like life was really hard back then before you had phones and ambulances and pain medication. Like you did not want to get shot at the theater and survive for 12 hours. They really show you like how lucky we are to be, even though things are kind of insane, how lucky we are to be alive at a time when you can call 911, right? And then, of course, John Wilkes Booth has to escape on horseback, which sounds, you know, romantic and dramatic and all, but you can only go so far so fast on a horse before the horse is like, get off me. I'm tired. I need to sleep and eat, right? So John Wilkes Booth, he gets out of Washington and he gets out. He trades on his celebrity because he was a well-known actor at the time. And even though this is a country at war, even though the Confederacy Lee has just surrendered when the show begins and John Wilkes Booth does that, there's still like, there are armed military patrols on the streets. The bridges in and out of Washington are closed at night to protect the Capitol. John Wilkes Booth comes riding up on horseback and he's got some sob story about how he really needs to get across the bridge. And the soldier is like, it's closed, it's closed, it's closed. And then the soldier realizes that John Wilkes Booth is who he is. And he's starstruck because his wife has seen this actor in some plays and he lets him through. And that's how he escapes to Maryland. And I paused it right then and there and went, have we just been kissing booty for celebrities forever? Like, is this the real secret sauce of humanity? That if you're a little bit famous, we will just let you slide. If we did that for John Wilkes Booth, I mean, you think about that one little detail, how his celebrity is what let him get out of the Capitol that night. Isn't that interesting?
I think it's amazing that there was somebody who was that famous could be recognized, because not that many people back then, I would imagine, went to plays, right? Today you turn on the TV, okay, there's this famous actor, and you know who it is. But back then, it was probably a playhouse with about 600 seats, maybe, right?
Well, John Wilkes Booth, his father and brother were also famous actors. And he just got lucky, because you're right, there was no, you know, TV back then, right, or movies. But he got lucky in that the soldier guarding that bridge, that sentry, that his wife was a theater fan. That, when you think about, like, all of the little weird ways that your fate and your life pivot on these strange little details, and being a celebrity, and just by chance, the sentry's wife was a fan, is how he got out of D.C. History would look very different if that sentry had not been at that post at that moment. So it's a good show. I mean, you know, it's not like the greatest thing I've ever watched, but Kevin liked it because it was a historical murder and there were no extraterrestrials. So if you too are faced with finding something to do this weekend with your man and he doesn't want to watch Dateline or Aliens, let me recommend Manhunt on Apple TV. We got Morons in the News coming up. We have comedian Nathan McIntosh and, of course, the People's Movie Critic. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry off-air podcast called The Oddcast.
I was listening to the podcast.
With stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show.
Podcast.
On the current Oddcast, Bob, Sherry, and Lamar speak with actor Gary Sinise about Wounded Heroes Day. Don't miss it. The Bob and Sherry off-air podcast called The Oddcast.
I heard your podcast.
Yes, please go on.
On the free Bob and Sherry app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're selecting weekly winners to enjoy a Caturday prize pack. Go to bobandsherry.com and enter to win a keepsake photo frame and a hide-and-scratch cat-scratching box. So, Lamar, we have a we have information for you. You were saying the other day on the show that you were not interested in sharing a two-holer outhouse with anyone.
No.
Not your wife, Carla.
Nobody.
Not your best friend. Not Max. Not even Doc, who is the nicest person alive.
Nope.
Lamar made it very clear that if he's in the outhouse, he's in there alone. Well, we have a really interesting explanation of the two-holer.
Good morning. How you doing, guys? This is Jamie. I'm calling. I'm got you back, Bob. You did not say that you liked ambrosia. You knew what it was, but no, you never said it. And no, it's not something that Bob would like. It's definitely not. I've been listening to the show forever, and and another thing, reason why this is out of the blue, the reason why outhouses have two holes is one's bigger than the other. And I was told when I was a kid, because we had outhouses, this one over here is for you so you won't fall in. Anyway, love you guys. I hope you have a good day. Bye.
My people, there you go, my people are here, you know.
But that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, it does make perfect sense. It does make perfect sense. But let me go ahead and say this. I ain't falling in no matter what. No matter what. I don't care how big or small. I'm not falling in. No.
Since we're starting off this day in kind of a history vibe with the Abraham Lincoln Show on Apple TV and the explanation of the two-holer outhouse, how about if we all just pause in our Friday vibe and salute our ancestors who had to potty train children without indoor plumbing? How about a round of applause for them?
Yes, ma'am. That's true.
You never think about that. You never think about what it was like. Like, you watch Little House on the Prairie and you're like, oh, isn't that cute? Pa gave Two-Bit or Little Nugget or whatever her nickname was an orange in a Christmas stocking, right? You're like, oh, look at you, Pa, getting an orange from the general store and putting it in the Christmas stocking. Does anybody ever once go, oh my God, how did Ma do it in a blizzard potty training those girls? Nobody ever thinks that.
That was a hard, hard era to live in. The pioneer era was just brutal. I was reading about that, and it's funny what sticks in your mind. They would be, you know, canning and trying to preserve meat in some sort of an underground place so they could get through a winter in Ohio. And this kid said he would cry in the middle of the winter because all they had to eat was like salted meat. And he said all he could think about was being able to eat a fresh raw onion. Now, how many kids do you know want to eat onions, let alone raw onions. Almost none. But just the idea of something that wasn't salted, almost petrified meat, just drove him to fantasizing about an actual onion that they couldn't get.
Yeah, something fresh and crisp and juicy. Yeah, exactly. You know, something that wasn't mushy or stringy or salty. Ah. Now, that kid that's been eating nothing but beef jerky and a raw onion can have that outhouse all to himself, because I know Lamar's not going in with that boy.
My mama used to talk about eating an onion like an apple. Because back then...
Is that right?
Yeah. All right. Somebody introduced you to an apple and showed you how to eat it, and you ate it, okay?
Right.
If you had never had an onion, and somebody introduced you to an onion and showed you how to eat it, and you like onion, you just like it sliced or diced or you know, sautéed or whatever. But if they just handed you an onion, it's not that unusual.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, well, is this basically the same kind of vibe? Yeah. Don't judge the people of the past. They don't know, right? They're doing the best they can.
An apple is sweet, kind of tastes good. An onion tastes like a little goes a long way.
Yeah, but you don't know that till you bite in, right? You don't know that till you taste it.
But after one bite, I know.
But don't you like onion?
Not raw. No, I don't. I like it sautéed. I like it in soup.
You don't put never. So you don't put raw onion on your hamburger or your hot dog?
Never.
You know what, mister?
Oh, I do that. I do that.
Mister,
you and I sounds like somebody. I don't know you. I just don't know you.
Somebody didn't grow up eating cornmeal mush and salt beef, and it shows, okay?
Evidently.
Somebody had him a modern suburban childhood with Jell-O.
Hey, Sherry, I was eating spam cocktail and Chung King. I mean, I was in the salt.
Oh, there you go.
I'll tell you sometime why my mama don't eat cantaloupe. I'll explain that to you sometime. I will.
Oh, I can't wait. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
If you are going to one of our fantastic state or national parks, and we have some beauties, if you see wildlife, don't try to get the selfie. Please don't do that. There is a woman whose name was she's still alive, thank God, Gallagher. And she went visiting in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania.
That's where Dracula's from. Did you know that?
That's exactly right. Yes, that's exactly right. And that Dracula's castle is still there. She's a Scottish tourist, and she and her friend are driving through the mountain area, and all of a sudden they slow down, and out of the woods comes a bear. And the bear goes around to the other side of her car, the passenger side, and her friend is looking at the bear, but the glass is still up in the window, and they took a picture. Well, the bear then, for some reason, walked around to the other side, the driver's side. And Maura, bless her heart, did not like the picture she got. She wanted an actual selfie with the bear, and she rolled down her window. She stuck out her hand, and at that moment, the bear, who was there with its cub, it's a mama bear with its cub, the bear reached in and swiped right at Maura and drove her the hospital. She was taken to the hospital, this big gash, several of them on her face and her body. And this is what she said. I didn't get a proper picture. So I went back and I was at its side and I saw the cub and I knew what that meant, but it was too late. I thought the bear wanted to be friends. The bear came and wanted to get into the car and be friends. But as the bear started getting into the car, it bit me and swiped at me. Please, folks, this happens all the time. Whether it's a moose.
I blame cartoons, I blame cartoons for people thinking the bear wants to be friends.
I know.
Hey, boo-boo.
See, don't, especially, boo-boo. Especially a mama bear with a cub. Lamar?
Do y'all remember when the phrase stranger danger came out? It was in the late 70s, early 80s when we started warning kids about strangers. But then early in the 2000s, sadly, we realized that as far as abuse goes, it's probably more likely somebody you know or somebody you're supposed to trust. But that's another story. But this is Aurora, California. A Colorado mom said students at the elementary school saved her son's life by yelling, "Stranger danger," after a man allegedly tried to grab him during recess last week. The police said that 33-year-old Solomon Galligan walked into school grounds, approached a group of children, and tried to grab one of them. He is seen on the security footage walking away from the kids because they're running around screaming, "Stranger danger! Stranger danger! Stranger danger!" Ayala says that her son gave police the suspect's description, including he had white powder or some sort of substance on his face, and he smelled like alcohol. "It was these kids who saved my son's life," she said. After the attempted kidnapping, she said her son hadn't slept in 3 days. Ayala and other parents said that the school staff was far too slow to react. "My son is saying that the teacher assistants were on their phones." Galligan was arrested and charged with attempted kidnapping. His bond was set at $25,000. He has a criminal history, which includes a conviction for failing to register as a sex offender. So, stranger danger. It works. It still works.
That's great. Danger. Those kids are fantastic. Get off your phone. If you were supposed to be keeping your eyeballs on kids, put the phone down.
And finally, Miami-Dade police responded to a panicked 911 call from a daycare center about a couple outside the daycare center pointing a large semi-automatic weapon at the daycare. So police raced into the parking lot, sirens ablazing, just before 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And sure enough, there was a woman, Estrella Maria Pereira, kneeling, holding an assault rifle in the firing position and aiming at the daycare's door with a man taking photos. And they said, "Oh, no, we're just bodybuilders. We're just taking strong bodybuilder photos. We didn't even know there was a daycare here." She said, I don't even live here. There's no sign that says daycare. I would never have done anything as ridiculous had I known there were children in the area. Surveillance video corroborated the 911 call. And she said, "We're just taking pictures. We didn't mean to do anything wrong. We're not bad people." She said, "It's all been blown out of proportion. We just made a really dumb decision." They both bonded out of jail for their very dumb decision. But, you know, here's the thing that I would say. If you want to oil up and take pictures of yourself pretending to shoot a gun, do that at home. Maybe don't even do that in the strip mall parking lot. Right.
Like, steroids must shrink brain cells, too.
Yeah. Let's use our noggins. Straight ahead, we've got the People's Movie Critic and his review of Arcadian, starring Nicolas Cage. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Leslie Carr lives in Oregon, and she always buys a lottery ticket, and she has a Tupperware container in the kitchen where she comes home from the store and drops her lottery ticket in the Tupperware container and gets on with her day. And she just kind of forgot about it. She bought a lottery ticket for the March 15th Oregon lottery and stuck it in the Tupperware and just got on with her day. And then she happened to see a news story about how somebody had won $1 million in the Oregon lottery and hadn't come forward. So Leslie thought, well, it's not me, but I should do something with these lottery tickets. So she takes her Tupperware container to the grocery store, and the very last ticket, and she's scanning them on the lottery machine, you know, the vending machine where you can tell if you have a winner or not. And the scan, not a winner, scan, not a winner, scan, not a winner. The very last ticket in the Tupperware, the machine threw up a message that she didn't understand. So she went and got a store employee, and he goes, "Oh, it just means you won more than $1,000, so the machine can't pay it out." So she called the Oregon lottery office and found out that the last ticket in her Tupperware was $1 million, and she won.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
And it was in time?
It was just in the nick of time. She said, "I had no idea I was the winner. If it wasn't for that $1 billion Powerball making the news, and they kind of mentioned at the end that there was an unclaimed winner in Oregon, I would have forgot we never check our tickets I buy them and then I forget to check them. She said, winning is a dream come true. I'm paying off this mortgage. I'm buying myself a new truck and I am going to Hawaii. Round of applause, Leslie. Those are solid priorities.
Those are good choices. Yeah, very good. Good for her.
Can you imagine having $1 million lottery ticket sitting in a Tupperware container and you just forgot about it?
We keep getting these stories of people who just stick the tickets somewhere in a kitchen drawer and forget about them. And then once in a while at the last minute this happens. Thank God she did that.
Yay, Leslie. Go check your tickets. Don't let that money sneak away from you. It's Bob and Sherry.
The People's Movie Critics Review is sponsored by Dr. Marty's. DrMartyPets.com/Bob.
It is time now for the People's Movie Critic and his review of the new Nicolas Cage movie, Arcadian.
You know, it was not a hard decision on picking what movie to go see. Because you always go with Nicolas Cage, no matter what. It doesn't matter.
Always.
Even if the movie sucks, you can bet Nick Cage gave it everything he had. He worked harder than anybody else to entertain the audience. Now, if the writer wrote a crappy movie, it's on him. It's never on Nick Cage. Never. I have seen some pretty crappy Nicolas Cage movies. Wicker Man comes to mind, and a ton of great ones. Con Air, Face Off, Moonstruck, and one of my very favorites that nobody ever thinks about, Raising Arizona, to name a few. Was it not great? Was it not great?
Yes!
Oh, if you've never seen it, you got to stop what you're doing and pull it up and see it. But I've never seen Nicolas Cage be bad at playing the part that was given to him. It's no different in Arcadian. The movie opens up as the apocalypse is in full swing. Nicolas Cage's character, Paul, is doing his best to escape it. He finds two abandoned infant boys, scoops them up, and takes them with him. Now Paul is a dad, and the boys are the purpose of his life. So we join them again 15 years later. They live in a farmhouse as a family. The boys are Joseph and Thomas, and they're played by Jaden Martell and Maxwell Jenkins. And they bicker back and forth as brothers do. And Paul, as a father, teaches them everything they need to know to survive. Now, that includes locking down the house at dark to keep out whatever it is that's scratching and banging and trying to get in during the night. The boys have chores and they're living a regular life. Joseph is the studious and responsible one. He follows all the rules. Thomas, he's a free spirit. He's more interested in helping at the farm over the hill that just so happens to have a girl his age, Charlotte. She's played by Sadie Soverall. We are introduced to some monsters of this apocalypse very slowly, just a little bit at a time. You get maybe just a glimpse or whatever. But when you finally see them, you can't stop looking at them through half-closed eyes because you're terrified. They are very unique monsters, something we've never seen before. Everything is going well for everyone involved in the movie until it's not. And the last third of the movie is a wild roller coaster ride that does not disappoint. The movie's an hour and 32 minutes. It's rated R for bloody images and some violence. Playing the end of the world hero dad, this is no challenge to him. But Nick Cage, in his fashion, to prepare for this movie, he isolated himself with just his family for 3 months. Nobody else. He didn't see anybody but the family. And he not only nailed it, he actually did so while taking a step back to allow the boys to really be the focus of the movie. What started off as a family surviving the apocalypse turns into a coming-of-age movie about the boys and ends up as a wild action-slash-horror movie with very inventive monsters. What really helps make this movie so intense is that we as the audience do not have an overview of anything. We don't know what's going on. We only know what they know when they know it. We only get to see the monsters in glimpses until we finally see them in full detail. And they are both amazing and completely terrifying. This movie by no means is on the level of A Quiet Place, but it has that feel. It has that feel. And it does have another thing going for it. Nicolas Cage. My score on this is 5 Budweisers. This is a fun Cage movie. It really, really is. It's good.
It's an interesting concept, more than one concept, actually. The coming of age thing in a horror movie is an interesting sidebar to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
He is so smooth
the way he steps back. It's good. Mm-hmm.
Real quick, Lamar, is this 5 buds for the movie, or is this 5 buds for all the Nicolas Cage stands out there, of which you and I are big?
Yeah, but don't make me separate it. But if you're a Nick Cage fan, it definitely is a 5. It's definitely a 5. Just don't make me decide.
Yeah, you can't. I'm sorry. I should never have put you in that terrible moral
dilemma. No, I can't be in that position. It's too much.
5 buds for Arcadian. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Lamar, we have a little something for you right here.
Hi, Bob, please. Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. This is Chris from Eugene, Oregon. I am a truck driver, and I listen to you guys all the time, and I recently had the pleasure of friending Lamar on Facebook, and I have sent him a couple things just about stuff that you guys have talked about on the show, and he has been more than polite and has actually responded, which makes me happy, and every time he's responded, I can't help but read it in his voice. I'm not even going to try and do his accent because I wouldn't do it justice. But I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you guys and love you guys. And thanks for keeping me entertained while I'm driving. Have a good day.
You know, he's right. You have a distinctive voice. You really do. Your voice.
Yeah, we love you, Chris, for sure. We love you. That's a fact.
Anybody that's listened to the show, and if they heard your voice, like, I don't know, at a gas station or wherever, they would go, oh, that's the guy from the Bob and Sherry show right there.
Yeah. Some people love it. Some people not so much. Every once in a while.
Lamar is so good about, didn't you get one just the other day, like a was it a Facebook message or a post where someone
it was a post.
It was pretty funny.
She said this mishmush southern whatever it is, nobody can understand him. I'm sure he's probably a nice guy, but I just can't stand to hear him talk.
Are you kidding me?
No, oh, wow. No. This is not melodious to everybody.
I have to say my favorite insult that Lamar has gotten so far is, who is that Gomer cowboy?
No, and also the nickname for me too, for one of those, was Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl.
Now, the best one was, Lamar, when we went on an affiliate trip one time, this guy said to Lamar, you're not nearly as fat and stupid as I thought you'd be. I was like, you do realize that he's a human being standing in front of you and can hear the words you're saying.
Is that better than the mom who came to Lamar and said, I've got a real stupid, lazy kid, and I want him to see that, look how well you're doing.
That was as low as it gets. And then there's the classic, I can't believe you're white. I can't believe you're a white man.
Yeah. Now that we're on the website a lot more, I don't get that. But I do defend that woman, because I went back and looked, and I remember where we were. We're up in upstate New York, and I remember we're sitting there, and a couple of people before her had given me a hat from Disney that was Goofy's head, and it had the ears hanging down. You remember the hat? And so I'm pretty sure when she was talking to me about being how I made it so well, even though I was sort of stupid, I was wearing the Goofy hat. So I know.
She didn't mean it the way. That was one of those things that comes out wrong. Like in your head, it sounded different than the way that
it was. It was a mama's compliment. Yeah, it was a mama's hope. That's what it was.
He is not doing well in school, and I just won't. Can you give him some advice? Because look where what you've turned out to be.
Yeah. Look what you had to work with. And you're on the radio.
Even your own, like, people don't realize how things sound. Like, even your own mother will come for you. I had this, I think I told you guys about this when I was visiting my mom last fall. we were talking about, like, you know, websites and social media and stuff. And my mom goes, well, Sherry, you're lucky because you don't have to worry about that. You're on the radio. Like, oh.
It's true. I've got one that's better than all of those. Before I got a full-time job in radio, you know, I've talked about working as an exterminator's helper and picking up dead rats, going into homes and getting rid of roaches, working in this assembly line where I just punched buttons all day. And my first wife's mother, I came home with the check, and first wife's mother said, well, Bobby, you know, some of us are going to work with our minds and some of us are going to work with our hands. Now, let me say that there are people in the extermination business that work with their minds in addition to doing all the tough things, and the same thing for people who work in assembly lines. But she just said, well, this is what it's going to be. This is, you know, this dumbass who's in the family, this is the best we can hope for.
But look at you. You proved her wrong. You work with your hands and your mind.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for that support, Sherry, after all these years. I'm glad you finally noticed that. Boy, what an attaboy that was, huh?
You're using both.
Walk proud.
Almost every
Walk
day.
Proud.
Yeah.
Oh, how could I not? It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
And right now, we're going to bring you Everyone Needs a Laugh with comedian Nathan McIntosh.
Yes, thank you guys so much. It's so great to be here. And I don't think I'm crazy when I say that tech nerds won. Everything we do, use, have goes through a tech nerd. Tech nerds run the entire world. Jocks used to run this world. And I really think this was a better place when jocks were running it. Because when jocks ran the world, they would just make fun of you because you can't play sports. Nerds make apps that make you hate yourself. Can I ask you guys, how did we let the least social people make social media? How did that happen? The people that never socialized at all, they were in fields rotating by themselves. They turned around and told us how to socialize. None of us made social media because we were too busy socializing. Nobody at a barbecue eating a hot dog was like, how do I turn this into a 15-second annoying video? That was some psycho sitting in a dark room, looking out a window like, I'd like to get out there. Just go, man. There's no wonder there's so many problems with social media. It was made by people that never did it. I know nothing about cars, okay? If I ever make one, there's going to be a lot of problems. So where are the Pistons? Like, Detroit? I don't know, man. This is why I get mad at the tech people, because they just make stuff they don't understand and we have to deal with it, you know? Like Elon Musk recently unveiled the Tesla humanoid. It's a robot for your house. It will do stuff for you in your house, because, you know, sometimes, right, you want something, but it's on the top shelf. And you're standing on the floor like, how am I going to get that? I'm covered in butter. I can't reach that, so... This robot will do it for you. And Elon Musk literally said these robots are going to be very cool as long as they don't become Terminators. Ha 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 ha. And then he laughed. Then he laughed that horrifying laugh. And nobody says anything. It's like, Elon, if there's even a chance these things become Terminators, why are you making them, man? Doesn't it just kind of feel like tech nerds watched every sci-fi movie halfway and then started making the things? They're like, wouldn't it be cool if you had robots that talked? Hey, man, finish the movie. And we are already very ready for robot. We are ready for a contactless world. We already treat people like robots as it is. We are ready for driverless cars and drones that drop stuff off at our house, you know? Because like an Uber driver now, that might as well be a bag of leaves. Who cares? That might as well be a mop and a hat. We're not even talking to him. We get into his car. It's his car. We don't say hello, we just close the door and wait. And if he says something to us, we're like, I just wanted a quiet ride, please. We have contactless delivery now. That's insane. Somebody could bike in the rain. to deliver your food. Bike in the rain, rain in the face. To bring you jalapeno poppers. And they don't even get to thank you anymore. They get a note in the delivery that's like, tell them to leave the J-Pops on the doorknob. And then get the hell away from my house. AI really scares me, man. I don't know, but I'm very scared about AI. I am scared about AI because the people that made AI are scared of AI. There are two men that helped create AI who have run away. They've run away. And now they're doing these interviews like, you gotta stop it. You gotta stop it. What do you want me to do? Get back in the office, dude. These two men think AI is gonna destroy humanity and they left. Is that even legal? Can you do that? Can a firefighter just leave a building like, the flames are big? It's your whole job, man. The fathers of AI are scared. The fathers. Henry Ford didn't run around going, look out for the car. There's nobody from Ben and Jerry's that's like, don't eat mint chocolate chip. But the people that made AI are scared and we just keep playing with it. It is wild to me to think that humans, we have no natural predators. None. And we made one with AI. It's like... we made a natural predator with AI. It's like if salmon invented grizzly bears. I just feel this was a better place when jocks were running it. And look, this is me also a full dork. A full dork defending jocks. When I was in school, jocks did not like me. Grade 5, these 5 jocks one time, right? They gave me a wedgie all at the same time. And they did it so hard I was in the air above their heads, floating in the sky, underwear inside my body. They gave me that wedgie in front of 28 kids. When jocks ran the world, 28 people saw me get a wedgie. Now that tech nerds run the world, millions of people would have saw that, you know? That video would have went to Latvia. There would have been reaction videos. There would have been some weird Euro dance track to what I said in the clip. Just, ah, my balls, ah, my balls. Ah, my balls. Anyways, I started this by saying that tech nerds won. They own us, and it's true, so please follow me online. And share this video with everybody you can. My name's Andy McIntosh, guys. Thank you so much.
He's great.
Posting it up at BOBANDSHERI.com. And if you missed the People's Movie Critic review a little bit ago, you can find it there, too. This is Bob and Cherry.
At the Bob and Cherry Show, we know there are all kinds of different cats, and we'd like to see yours. Just submit a pic of you and your cat to bobandcherry.com, and we'll post your pic. And you could be one of our weekly winners of a keepsake, My Life is All About My Cat frame with the winning photo inside, plus a hide and scratch cat box. Hide and scratch is the perfect scratching box. We want to see your cat. Yep, even that cat. Every day is Catter Day with Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
This is up-to-the-date news about the name Karen. Evidently, the Karen thing has become so strong, not just here in the United States, but around the world, that approximately one-third of people, women who have the name Karen, would like to change it. They would legally like to change their name. And I just find that, I find that so sad. And one of the women who was mentioned in this article I'm reading said, you know, it's just not the Karen thing who's the crazy neighbor. It's also the character on Will and Grace. I don't want to be identified like her. Although I must say that that Karen, I thought, made that show. Can we all agree on that?
Great character. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, just a fantastic, the voice, oy vey. But yeah, that's kind of sad. And 15% of people don't like the name that they have, their surname. They don't like it at all. I, you know, I'm Bob. You know, it's, I can't see myself being anything but Bob. But Bob has become kind of a dinosaur of names. And if I had to change my name, I don't think it will. No, it's not cool sounding. It's so comfortable for me. There were so many Bobs when I was a kid. Bobs are still everywhere. There's Bob Fest every year. All the Bobs get together. If I were to change my name from Bob, I would choose Jack. Because
I
think Jack.
That's a solid one, too.
totally solid and cool and forever. Forever. Jack is a very cool name. What would you change your name from, Sherry?
I don't like my name, and I'm disappointed in my parents for being so boring. I would have rather had a family name, like one of the classic family names.
Italian
like
sides?
Isabel, Francesca, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Lamar. I don't fit any of that. Lamar, how about you?
Rock.
You know, I like rock. Could be a rock.
Rock.
You could be a rock. I knew
Listen,
a rock.
Once you've
from
been a
Georgia.
Lamar, you can be anything. If you've ever been a Lamar, you can be anything.
All right. Hi to all the Karens out there. God bless you. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
844-52-SHERI. That's our number for those of you that like to talk on the telephone. Or if you'd rather use the free Bob and Sherry app, you can grab it in Google Play or the Apple Store, and you can listen to the show on every single one of our podcasts and enter contests and text the studio, and you can tap the little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk. And the app will do the rest.
Hi, this is super random, but just wondering if anyone on the show has watched the show Outer Range on Amazon Prime. I would love to hear your take on it and maybe even a review if you all haven't seen it yet. I think it's right up your alley. And also something in the show relates to one of Sherry's recent True Weird Stuff podcasts. So would love to hear your take.
I'm a huge fan of Outer Range. So it stars Josh Brolin, who I love, and he plays a rancher in Wyoming named Royal Abbott. Royal is such a great first name for this character.
It is.
Anyway,
yeah, it is.
He and his wife are fighting to hold on to their land because they're being encroached upon. And then it turns out that there is this like giant, I'm not sure what it is. It's like a void. It's a mystery deep on the edge of their land, deep in the heart of the Wyoming wilderness. And I won't say more because I don't want to ruin it for anyone else that hasn't seen it yet. But yeah, it's real. It is right up my alley. I loved it. I got my husband to watch it by telling him it was a cowboy show. And I'm here to tell you, the first time the mysterious, unfathomable black void showed up on the land, he sat straight up and said, "You didn't tell me there was like weird crap in this."
He thought he was home free with a cowboy movie. Yeah.
He was like, Josh Brolin. There are horses. What could go wrong here? Okay, I think we have another message.
Hey, y'all. This is Megan in Athens, Georgia. I'm calling about the Hokas. So I work in healthcare, and healthcare workers, as a rule, seem to love Hokas. I know a lot of runners who love them as well. I will say that they are the dad shoes of the trail running community. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, but they are considered dad shoes to trail runners. And also, I had a friend who worked at a running store at one time, and he said that all of the time when he worked there, he'd have these middle-aged women come and return their shoes, return their Hokas. When they went to put them up on the counter, they had road rash all over them because they are so much shoe, and they were causing women to like fall off of them on the road. So, you know, if you're going to have them, just be cautious and embrace the dad shoe aesthetic, Bob. Just go for it. Thanks. Love the show.
Yeah, let me address that. I don't care what you call them. I don't care what you call them. They're the most comfortable shoes that I've ever had, and I'm on my feet a lot too. And I am always looking for backup so that I'm not put in a category like, oh, look at this poor man over here with those big, thick shoes. I can't believe he can still walk. His feet must be so – they're just very comfortable. I put in 20,000 steps 2 days ago, 20,000 steps. I move around a lot. I don't run, but I move around a lot, whether it's, you know, working in the yard or whatever it may be. And I just think they're so damn comfortable. They are a little goofy looking. And I'll tell you what, the runners who say that they are, or hikers rather, who say that those are dad hikers, those are people whose feet hurt and mine don't. So say what you want about the Hokas. I think they're great.
You've got a listener who's on your side with this.
Hi, really? Guys. I just felt like I needed to come to Bob's defense really quickly. I am 24 and I'm a lady, and I have multiple pairs of Hokas, and they're the best ever. You can get them in a bunch of different colors. They're so comfy. You can get them in neutral colors if that's your thing. But I absolutely love Hokas. I may not ever buy another tennis shoe besides Hokas. So I just wanted to come to Bob's defense really quickly about that. And I also have a hate, something that I hate. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Praise be. But I despise when people share those posts on social media that says, if you don't like, comment, and share, it means you love the devil and hate Jesus. I think Jesus is okay if I don't share a photo of a kitten in a basket. Anyway, that's just me. Bye.
I love that woman in so many different ways. Thank you for giving me some backup with the Hokas. And we've all seen that online, haven't we?
Could you imagine getting to the pearly gates and St. Peter says, I got some bad news. There were at least 16 times you did not share and you hate Jesus off to hell with you. Like, as if. All right, don't go anywhere. Straight ahead, Lamar has an amazing story for us about one of the greatest generation. And our friend Craig Shoemaker is about to pop by. You're going to love it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature.
On the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Teachers do so much, and we want to help teachers kick back and relax for a bit this summer at the beautiful Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com, and they could win a summer vacation from Visit Florida.
We are super glad to welcome back to the show our old friend, comedian Craig Shoemaker. Are you back out on the road in a big way, or is this kind of like a mini tour?
It's a very mini tour. I'm actually doing a lot of coaching. I have a program called Winning with Laughter. After the pandemic, I think that we need a few laughs. So I'm teaching people how to use the alchemy of laughter to improve your life. And I take people through guided laughter and a whole program to deprogram the negativity that's out there. So I'm doing that on Zoom and live, but I'm trying not to perform as much on the road.
Let's talk about comedians for just a second. Steve Allen said, if you're not funny by the age of 12, you're never going to be funny.
Oh, that's somebody making a proclamation that doesn't really have science. I'm not going to trust science on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure about that. I do know that I was funny. As a matter of fact, I just thought of this story recently about when I really entered comedy was my dad left when I was born. You know, something I said, wah. And I really lived a difficult life. I was kidnapped and by a serial pedophile. We moved a lot. I was beaten. I was really small and I was beaten and put in lockers. And I remember one time being shamed. I only had one pair of pants and some rich kid saw me sewing them in the bathroom of our school. So I was having a really rough time, especially in fourth grade when we had just moved. And this goes to show you what laughter does and truth telling. That's basically a lot of it has to do with just telling the truth. Hey, by the way, in a complimentary way, you two are still together because you bring the truth. That's what people are into. They're organically drawn to you because every day that's what you do. The most ethereal feeling happens when there's this energetic exchange of laughter with anyone in your life. Think about it. I mean, think about the people you like to be around. It's usually people that you have fun with. You're smiling. You're releasing healing enzymes in your body every time you smile. You're oxygenating your body when you laugh, and healing endorphins are released. All these things. You know, I have this Laughter Heals Foundation because my best friend got brain cancer, and I formed that. And by the way, they gave him 3 months to live, and he showed up for all these guided laughter, all this stuff that I developed. You know, where you don't need jokes. He showed up with all of it, all the prescriptions, and he lived 15 years past that prognosis.
Wow.
3 months he was supposed to live, and he had brain cancer. Yeah. But it goes to show you that you can, with a mind reset, it's the energy follows thought. You start thinking these thoughts of, I'm going to input lots of laughter and lots of joy into my life, and that's all that can manifest. Of course, you have the other programming to be out there. One of the things I also say is turn off the news because it's always going to be bad news and it get you upset. And then the drug company sponsors the news that handles the anxiety that they just gave you. That's the whole circle.
That is so true. That is so true.
Yeah. Here, let me get
your fears. Those are the main clients. Yeah.
I mean, and then they'll give you some drugs that you never heard of, and that leads to more side effects, and you have more drugs that you never, and the names of these things. How about a drug called Jokerex? I mean, you take Jokerex twice a day and see what happens. I mean, the side effects, you know, and when you were growing up, do you remember ever sitting with your parents and all of a sudden what comes on the TV is a commercial for erectile dysfunction and you have to explain this to a child? I mean, I cannot imagine my mom sitting with my mom, you know, during Mary Tyler Moore and going, what does that mean? Erectile dysfunction? Have her explain it to me. Levitra, Cialis, Viagra. By the way, I went to the pharmacist to investigate Viagra. I said, can I get it over the counter? He goes, yeah, I guess if you take two or three, sure.
Craig, for me, the worst of it is the bent carrot Peyronie's disease commercials. Because a child, as far as a kid knows, like, why are they mad that that carrot is shaped like that? It's such a literal commercial. That's excruciating to try to
explain. Oh, yeah. Then there's the other one where Frank Thomas is in it. But what's that one for? Nugenics. And then so it's got all these guys in a neighborhood with like tangled limp hoses that they're trying to put together to water their backyard. They can't water the kinked hose.
And then at the end of the spot, they look at the camera with a smile and say, she'll like it too.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And it's, by the way, his nickname is literally the big hurt. And here's these frail guys that apparently can't get their hose together, and he goes, and she'll like it too. Oh my God.
We spent a bunch of time with Craig, and we're going to put all of that into Monday's episode of the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, and you can find that at bobandsherry.com and everywhere you get your podcasts. This is Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
I believe this.
The sole living survivor from the sinking of the USS Arizona during the Pearl Harbor attack that brought the U.S. into World War II has died and was buried a few days ago.
Wow.
Lou Conter, who lived in Grass Valley, was 20 years old at the time of the attack on December the 7th, 1941. There were 2,403 Americans killed in the attack, including 1,177 of Arizona's crew. Conter was one of the only 335 officers and crewmen who survived. He helped rescue fellow crew members and recover bodies in the days that followed, the National World War II Museum said in a statement on Conter's passing. Over the years, Conter shared his experiences and visited Hawaii for remembrance ceremonies. The minute it happened, we sounded general quarters, and they were in there, and we blew up in about 8 minutes, maybe nine, Conter said. Conter went on to serve in three wars, flying 200 missions as a pilot, and was even shot down twice. Conter also helped create the Navy's first survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, SEER, a training program, before retiring in 1967 as a lieutenant commander. On Monday, April the 1st, Conter's daughter confirmed that the veteran had died early in the morning at his Northern California home in Grass Valley while under hospice care. He was 102 years old. Fewer than two dozen survivors of the attack are still alive in 2024. As most are now well into their 90s or older, the number of living World War II veterans continues to dwindle. According to the National World War II Museum, only about 119,000 of the 16.1 million Americans who served the World War II war are still alive today, with around 131 passing away each day.
Yeah.
If you've never been to Hawaii and been to this memorial, you're missing something. And if you ever do go to Hawaii, do not, whatever you do, do not miss this.
You are so right. It was one of the most moving things. I'm getting all choked up. Just thinking.
It's unbelievable.
Here's what they do. You get on a boat, and they tell you about the attack, you know, and there's music and there's sound effects and all. And then slowly you're approaching where the Arizona still rests. And then it goes quiet.
The quietest place I've ever been, I think. The quietest place I've ever been with that many people.
Yep. You're right. If you have the coins and you're going to Hawaii, you have to go there. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
And the museum you walk through and look at before and after you get on the ship is just amazing. Well, not get on the ship, but go out to where the ship is.
Yeah.
That oil leak is still leaking.
Yeah.
That's on my – I've never been to Hawaii, and I'm such a history nut. That is on my list of things that I want to get done in this life. Say that man's name again, Lamar.
Lou Conter, C-O-N-T-E-R. Lou Conter.
It's just when you hear something like this, you're just reminded that sometimes the past, like the way that we learn history in school, where we just memorize dates and the names of battles and generals, we don't realize that it wasn't that long ago. Like, it's still living memory.
Yep.
Yeah.
And each one of these names has a life that they lived. And he went on after this to continue to fly missions. And, I mean, this was a man. This was a man.
Yeah.
And a patriot. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm so glad that we did this today because, you know, every December 7th, you know, we have Pearl Harbor Day and we talk about it. But as we lose one by one the last members of that generation, I think it's important to remember that's our recent history. And what did those uniformed patriots give up their lives defending? Your freedom, your right to vote, your right to live and worship as you choose, your right to representative democracy. That's why that man put that uniform on. That's why those soldiers and sailors are at the bottom in that boat, in that ship. That's what they were fighting for. They weren't fighting for you to have the right to keep other people from existing. They were voting for you to have the right to live your life according to our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. And this is not a bad time to be reminded.
I agree.
That all of those sacrifices cannot be in vain. We cannot lose everything that our men and women of uniform have fought for since this country was founded. We cannot lose that now just because we're all super ticked off and our tighties are in a twist. It's Bob and Sherry.
On the current episode of the True Weird Stuff podcast.
It was supposed to be a new Garden of Eden, a utopian wonderland where the abundance of nature more than met every need, a peaceful haven where the laws of man and clothing both were irrelevant. It's such a human thing, you know, our belief that paradise is something that can be found or created. And it's so very human, the way we're shocked by the serpent who always finds its way in. We don't see until it's far too late that we are the serpent, that there can be no such thing as a new Garden of Eden, not with us in it. There had been no yachts anywhere in sight on the day the Baroness disappeared. Was Ritter repeating gossip in his letter to Hancock? Or did he know some darker truth? And you have to wonder, because Ritter's letter included two dramatic and ominous sentences.
We will hope you come once more to the island. Then I will tell you what I cannot write, because I have no proof for it.
Hancock planned to do just that in late November 1934, accompanied by a group of scientists with the Smithsonian Institute. Hancock admitted he had no idea what Ritter might mean, and wanted only to do his part to clear up the mystery of the missing Baroness and the marooned Lawrence and Nygaard. The intrigue and possible violence that was taking place at Hacienda Paradiso wasn't the only discord on the island. Things were not going so well for the first Adam and Eve of Floriana.
The True Weird Stuff Podcast. Listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's Bob and Sherry, the podcast.
A few minutes ago, actually it was about an hour or so ago, all of a sudden had this moment of remembrance that just blew my mind. We were talking about women who have the name Karen, who hate the name because of all the Karen stuff going on. About a third of Karens around the world want to change their name because they just can't take it anymore. And I think that's very sad. I hope they don't, and it just goes away. But then we started talking about, if you had to change your name, what would your name be? And we got to Lamar, and Lamar thought for about a second, and he said, I would change my name from Lamar to Rock. And everybody laughed because we know how much he likes The Rock, right? And then I had a blast from the past. My first wife's mother's second husband was named Rock. I know you have to follow it. Sherry understands what it's all about. And he was not only named Rock, he was from Georgia. The man was from Georgia.
Yeah, Lamar.
And he,
yeah.
There we go.
And he
there
looked
we go.
A little like you. He looked, especially when you had the cropped hair, the really short hair and the little mustache
there.
Very similar. Big guy, big, strong guy. I went, oh, my God, what is the opportunity? What are the chance that would happen? And I started thinking about Rock. Can I tell you about Rock? This guy worked in a chemical factory almost for 25 years. And he worked on the swing shift. And if you don't know what that is, if you've never done it, it's one of the toughest lifestyles you can have. You might be working from 11 in the evening until 7 in the morning for 1 week. And then the next week, you're working 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And then the next week, you're working in. It's just, you're always tired. You're always cranky. You're always miserable. And on top of that, there are certain women who have such power, even if they're tiny. And my first wife's mother was tiny and powerful. And Rock, after working the swing shift, coming in filthy from the chemicals, day after day, she would say, check. And he would turn over his check. And she would cash it. And she'd give him a few bucks here and there for his spending money. And then a part of it went into a Maxwell House coffee can. And that was buried somewhere. There was cash in her, literally in her backyard, just in case she needed what was called running away money. And he had no idea. I knew. Now, she never had to do that. He was a pretty good guy. But that, to me, said, no matter what you do, find an easier lifestyle. Because after working in a chemical factory, you don't even get to control your own money. And some of it's literally in your backyard. And the other thing I remember about Rock, and let me see if you know what that is. Do you know what a Georgia treat is?
A Georgia treat?
It sounds filthy.
It's no, it's not.
Okay.
It is a Coca-Cola, or as he used to say,
No. You're talking about peanuts and a Coke.
That's it.
Yes,
that was
peanuts
it.
And a Coke. Yes.
Well, let me tell you, in North Haven, Connecticut, no one had ever heard of that. And
really?
I would watch him pour a Coca-Cola. He did not drink alcohol. The wife forbade him from drinking anything. I guess that's a whole different story. But he would pour the Coke on ice, especially coming in from working the all-night shift. He'd come rolling into her house about 8 o'clock in the morning. He would sit down. He would take his shoes off, and he would have a Georgia treat. I've never had one. Is it just I don't understand the appeal.
No. You can take – it's better with a Coke. I mean, and I guess if you're a Pepsi drinker, I don't know you, but if you are, then that's cool too. But when you pour the peanuts, and it has to be a pack of peanuts, like a Lance or a Tom's or something, it's already cylindrical pack.
And with salt.
With salt. And see, the salt goes in there, and so there's a little saltiness that mixes with the sweet, and we all know if you get that right combination of sweet and salty, you've hit a home run. And then you drink the Coke, and every time you turn the Coke up, you'll get a few of the peanuts, but then they go to the bottom when you turn the Coke up. So the trick is to not have a peanut left in the bottom of that bottle when you finish the Coke, because now you're working yourself to death, because that last peanut is like that fry that's in the bottom of the McDonald's bag. You got to have it.
Yeah,
you got to have it. So I always make that last swallow. I swirl the peanut around and then flip the Coke up, and the peanut goes down my throat, and my life is good. It's real good.
That man struggled no matter what he did, even with the Georgia treat. God bless his memory. Rock. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
Well, last week was just filled with all kinds of horrifying news for some of us. And man, was Mercury retrograde in the worst possible way around here. What you got for us this week, Charlie?
Well, this week, things do brighten up. I'm happy to report back. Good. Beginning with Aries, it signifies an increase in financial resources. It's opportunities for financial growth or self-esteem. So it's just a boost in income or unexpected gifts. So you can enjoy the material comfort. For Taurus, this is about prioritizing self-love and self-care, pampering yourself, investing in your appearance, activities that boost your confidence. It's a great time to showcase your uniqueness and spend some time and money on your physical self. Gemini this week, there's a little bit of sacrifice and surrender when it comes to others. You might need to let go of expectations in connection with your personal and professional relationships. And it's just a time for compassion when someone else's over-the-top actions unintentionally tick you off.
She doesn't elaborate.
They don't mean to hurt you, that's all. They don't mean to you know,
they never do things mean that to. Work. They never mean to.
So for Cancer this week, it's about nurturing positive interactions within your social circle. This is spending time with friends, going to social events, connecting with like-minded individuals. And you may come up with like a cool idea or a cool collaboration that winds up generating some rewards. For Leo, this is all about receiving praise or promotion for your hard work and your dedication to something. And it could bring you closer to an authority type person. So it has the effect of being the star pupil or the class favorite or even something like employee of the week. For Virgo, there's a celebration that calls for your attendance, and it's probably something that you would rather not go to in favor of simpler pleasures and keeping costs to a minimum. But really, once you're there and you let your hair down, it actually turns out to be quite a lot of fun.
You know, I have experienced that. You know, I know what's coming. I have experienced that where I'm going, I just want to go to that party with your friends and I don't know their husbands. And I get there and, you know, I'm actually having a good time. Now, I think alcohol plays a little bit of a part in that, but nonetheless.
I would say so, definitely. Mm-hmm. This week for Libra, someone is going over budget, and it's possibly not even you. So this is unavoidable costs that rack up for somebody else who happens to play an important part in your life. And it's just one of those things where you suck it up, you pay it up, and you know that they would do the same for you if needed. For Scorpio, there's a situation that may even be of a legal nature that requires diplomacy and compromise for some kind of beneficial resolution, which actually gets much easier to navigate this week. It's conflicts and disagreements where everyone decides that it's time to prioritize harmony, understanding, and fairness.
That's good news. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
It's better than it's been in a while, Max.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Usually it's Scorpio. You're going to trip and fall, and then someone will be mean to you, and also everything will break. I mean, is it that? All right, Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, you will not regret focusing on your health and wellness this week. You're being encouraged to prioritize your well-being. So this is adopting healthier habits in diet and exercise, or finding like a gym buddy or an accountability buddy. Just be careful, because the dreaded sweet tooth could come in to override your hard work. Capricorn this week, unpredictable is your theme. And you might be using the most unconventional words you have ever used in your life, which could either work to ally the really cool, unique people who truly support you, or it could work to alienate the kind of more traditional types. Just don't hold back.
I can't imagine that I haven't already alienated the more traditional types. Like, I just want to say to the handful of more traditional types that are still riding along, good for you. Good for you. I'm going to tell you about like a brain worm. How's that? That'll scare y'all off. What you got for Aquarius?
Aquarius, you could find yourself taking care of a family member, or you might be celebrating them this week. And if it's not, you know, party time, then it might be a costly payment towards a home renovation or a home upgrade. And it's a price that you are more than willing to pay, because it brings ultimate joy in home comfort, beauty, and happiness. And for Pisces, this week is the perfect time to address a lingering conversation that's been simmering beneath the surface. And you discover that it's easier to communicate diplomatically, and you'll be more receptive. And something that might have been a conversation that was likely to go tensely actually turns into a surprisingly pleasant interaction.
I have to say, Charlie, it has been so long since we didn't have such an apocalyptic catastrophe of a week.
Yep.
For almost
yep.
every zodiac sign. This is amazing, and I feel very, heading into the weekend, feeling very hopeful and optimistic. We're going to get this forecast posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com, and we'll share it over to the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Now with Bob and Sherry, the world according to Double M.
So Tim, the last time you were here, you shared with the audience that you have OCD and that, you know, you live with it. You know, you're managing it. Restaurants are kind of challenging because you can't put your fork directly on the table and you have to eat your food a certain way.
Salads, it's weird. You know, I'll pull the edges off of the sandwich just so it's perfect. So I was... I go to this restaurant that is in my building. It's not a bad restaurant. It's not a good restaurant. They all know me there. The general manager, really nice guy. He's got the beard thing going on. Mm-hmm. He's in his probably his upper 20s. Mm-hmm. And he always comes over to me and it just wants to talk. And I'm a regular there, I guess, once sure. a week. So I'm eating my salad in my peripheral vision, and this gets a little bit gross, but in my peripheral vision, he's really fidgety and he's pulling at his beard.
Uh-oh.
So his hand is in his face, yeah. and he's just digging and digging and digging. Mm. And so I turn to my left where he is. I'm in a booth. I turn to my left and he's like mutilating his face. So, and I think he was pulling either ingrown hairs or hairs that are a little bit too long off of his face. Yeah.
See, I was guessing food. That like, I don't know, a clam or something got caught in there.
So,
wow.
It is so hard for Tim to be trusting anyway of his restaurant meal.
Wait, this gets so this is where it gets really interesting. So I'm too nice, and I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable that I just saw him mutilating his face.
Right, right.
So
while people are eating.
Yeah, I went back to my salad and I thought, wow, this is an interesting spot that I'm in here. How do I get out of this one?
Right.
So I start going back to my salad, and he just wanted to talk about the Green Bay game, and we have big storms come in, and he's talking about the storms. So I look back at him real quick again, because he started doing it again, and then he would stop.
Wow.
And then I went back to my salad and I look it back again, and then you do it again. I mean, he's just digging and digging and digging. So, and I
were you starting to get a little like, oh, one of these beard hairs is going to fly into my lettuce?
That's what I'd be thinking.
He was, and then it went to his ear, you know, and he's pulling like these, making sure that he doesn't have like maybe long hair on his ear. His hand got a little bit too close to his nose, and I'm thinking,
I want to meet the owners who hired this guy as the manager.
I mean, this is not a bad restaurant either, but it's just okay. And I wanted to say, hey, bud, I got a steak knife here. I can give you a manicure right in the booth if that's all right.
You said nothing to him, though. I know you. You said nothing, didn't you?
Well, here's so I knew it was coming. Yeah. No, I didn't say anything to him because I'm just too nice.
Suffer in silence.
And this is where the fear is coming to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know the handshake is coming.
Yep.
Because he's always going to want to shake my
hand. And you don't like to shake hands. Yep.
I can't do it.
Right.
And so and at the end of our conversation, there it is. He extends his hand. Thanks so much for coming in. Mm-hmm. I felt like I just shook hands with a squash buckle. I mean, this guy was just... I mean, I went
so
home and
bad.
I went in the shower for 5 hours. After that, I was on my couch licking myself, cleaning myself like a cat. I mean, it was just, oh, gosh.
I know what you mean about the hand thing. What is it with managers and hostesses at restaurants? They must realize there are a bunch of us out there that don't want to shake hands, but they always want to shake your hand. Thank you for coming.
I wanted to just... Hey, thanks so much, and wave or fist pump. And,
you know, do what I do. Tell them you have the plague and you don't want to, you know, pass it along.
Yeah, I'm sick. I can't do that. Yeah. Maybe that's
Have you
my
ever
thing.
Tried that?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I'm back here. I'm sick. I'm so sorry.
I do that all the time. Yeah.
I judged. I was a volunteer judge at a high school debate tournament last weekend, and the kids ask you, are you a handshake judge? And I was like, no, sir, buddy. I am not a handshake judge. And you don't want to shake my hand. My whole family is sick
That's
right
interesting
now.
Interesting that they asked that.
Yeah, these kids were so polite. Tim, these kids are terrifying. I had two kids from Maryland, high school sophomores. They were dressed like the Men in Black. And they debated in favor of keeping economic sanctions in Venezuela so single-mindedly and with such force that I almost regret it not being a handshake judge. These kids were powerhouses.
Did they know what they were talking about?
They It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
All right, this is about as Black Mirror as it gets. The Miss AI pageant is underway. It's being scheduled. The first beauty pageant just for AI. So these are not real women. These are women created by artificial intelligence. They will be judged on their beauty, their technology, and their social media clout. They'll go head-to-head in front of a panel of judges, two of which are also AI.
We already have this. We already have this. It's called the Kardashians, you know?
I have to tell you, like, I have looked at some of these AI-generated images, and, we are so close to the Matrix. Like, we're just brains in jars. And reality is all make-believe. And to enter this, you just have to provide your AI-generated image of a woman and then answer some questions like, what would be your dream to make the world a better place? Then
kill the humans.
A bunch of technical programming details. And you'll be judged on classic aspects of beauty, including, you know, like your poise and of course, your social media clout and how well you're coded. The winners will be announced in May. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
It's really depressing.
Is anyone looking around at reality and going, I don't know. I think maybe this is bad.
This is bad.
This is bad.
The only positive thing that I can see here is that social scientists say that a lot of crime, a lot of violence is caused because men can't get a woman to like them. And so they become very angry with their lives. I just wonder if somewhere down the road, you might be able to go ahead and go into the Target
get you a woman that you see on the shelf, and maybe you'll stop killing people. That's the only positive thing that I can think of.
That is, what you just said is accurate and among the most depressing things I've ever heard. And if you'll excuse me, it's time for Mama to go have a lie down in a dark room with a beverage. It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.